This is an Enterprise Times business podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at SousaCon with CEO Nils Brockman.
Nice to have you here, Ian. Thanks a lot. Like you say, my name is Nils. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of SUSE. I'm with the business since May 2011. During that period, we developed and expanded the business quite a bit. We took it from being an enterprise-grade Linux vendor, always true open source-based, into new areas, going into software-defined infrastructure solutions, obviously also based on open source technology like OpenStack or Ceph for software-defined storage. Since then, we are advancing the company more into those areas of application delivery solutions around container as a service based on Kubernetes paired with a SUSE micro OS. So these kind of solutions we provide to enterprise customers to basically help them to be ready for their own digital transformation projects, to help them to create, deploy, and manage workloads based on agile open source technology wherever they want to, whether it's on traditional IT, on-premise, or in a hybrid and multi-cloud setup. So that's what we are doing as a business. I work for this business, and that's what we're presenting here at SousaCon.
Up until recently, you were owned by Micro Focus. You've now become a wholly separate business in your own right. What was the driver behind making that change, and how does that change your business?
Being part of Micro Focus during that time, SUSE did accelerate its growth. So we were growing faster. And during that time, we also took some of those decisions to expand the business in some of those areas that I just described. That worked really well for SUSE. We now also realize that always growing organically actually is taking quite some time because you need to hire those people from the marketplace. You need to add them to the business. We're operating in highly innovative markets where sometimes also the engineering talent is rare. So we realized that in order to make progress faster, execute our strategy faster, and bring open source innovation to our customers, also in a more agile, more fast way, that we have to complement our organic growth strategy with inorganic activities. And quite frankly, our new owner, EQT, is in a way in a better position to help us accomplish that. They are private equity growth investors. They buy companies that are growing already, which we achieved underneath Micro Focus, but help them to grow even faster, to expand more effectively. One of the values that they bring to the table is the support, the funding, and the expertise to do these acquisition programs, the buy elements of our strategy more effectively. And that's why we did this change. That's why it makes sense to SUSE. And it's also one of the values that we get out of this ownership change.
We're seeing massive change within open source. In fact, change is accelerating to the point where we barely get one project stable before the next major project hits us. That puts a lot of pressure on a company like yourself in terms of organic growth. You just mentioned acquisition strategy there. As you look forward, how do you see that panning out? Are you already looking at a target group of organizations you may want to acquire? Or are you looking to other open source projects where you'll bring in the creators of those projects and work with them to help drive them forward, kind of in the way that CloudBees did with Jenkins?
There were actually several good and very valid statements or elements in your question, right? So first of all is, if you really operate in very innovative markets, then usually those markets have not matured to the degree that they have clear standards. And that's definitely true for open source because that's so innovative. You can start up so many things. And for a vendor that wants to commercialize some of those software, because that's what we do, because we want to find and service the enterprise buyer, then it is not always easy to understand early in the process which of those community projects actually will become the standard, which of those will mature and become relevant in an enterprise context. They are all relevant from an innovation perspective, but we are looking for those things that turn relevant in an enterprise use context. And that is indeed a challenge, and we are trying very hard to engage in community projects where the community is truly independent, where it has a certain scale, where it's diversified, that it results on many shoulders. So we're looking to certain things, attributes, before we decide which open source project to engage with. So we're thinking about it. I'm not sure we always get it right, but we try to get it right. Your second question is, sometimes you're still too slow in doing it organically by engaging with those communities. And then you want to buy companies that have some of those engineering talent already in-house, that maybe have a certain presence in that community and therefore also certain influence in that community, and also have productized some of their services for that open source technology. It's all open source, but the services need to be productized so that you can actually bring that into your own business and then grow faster. We're definitely having a target list, and we're looking at businesses that have made that step, commercializing the open source technology in an enterprise context, which basically talks about service concepts at the end of the day, because that's what we sell. We don't sell the technology itself. We sell the service around it.
One of the shifts we've seen has been with OpenStack. It's renamed itself the Open Infrastructure Foundation, yes, which plays very much to the strengths that you've had for the last 5, 6, 7 years, as you've moved away from desktop models to enterprise, to focusing on services, to platforms and other elements. But in making that shift, it's also decided to go back to where it was a couple of years ago and open up to any and every project that wants to come in. That in itself suggests we're going to see a massive influx of new projects, new ideas in the open source community. How do you begin to select, not so much winners, but how do you begin to select viable projects to work with and technologies that will enhance your business and your client's business down the line?
To be honest, the only way to survive that in a commercial context is to understand what your customer base really wants. That's the only, let's say, fixed guidance that you can get. We are part of the open source community and we are innovating with the communities and we contribute to the communities, but we're also a commercial business at the same time. Whatever we do, we need to find someone that wants to buy it from us as well at the end of the day. The ultimate test for us is if these are projects and technologies that catch interest in an enterprise context. Because if enterprises would never see any value in that innovation, and sometimes it takes a little while before it becomes enterprise ready, that's okay. But if they would not show any interest in any of those innovations, then in an enterprise context, it's not really relevant. And then it's really not relevant for us either. If you approach it from the pure context of innovating technology, that's a different story. You might try out different things for a while, and then some of that will become relevant in an enterprise context, some don't. So from an innovation context, that's truly valid. But for us, ultimately, we double down on those things that have the potential to become relevant in an enterprise context.
If we look at the market in which you're operating in, you've been a very big supplier to IBM around mainframe with Linux. But IBM's just gone out and spent an inordinately large sum of money on buying Red Hat. It raises two interesting challenges for yourself. The first is, how do you still maintain your role as the largest supplier of independent Linux on the mainframe?
First of all, you will hear us talking a lot here at the industry about that we are seen in the market as the open source vendor. And we always explain that to people. We say, well, for us, open source goes beyond the promise of optimized innovation and sharing the source code and a certain license model. For us, open source is also the promise to collaborate with different kind of vendors, technology partners, and be open to create best of breed solutions for mixed IT environments that enterprise customers want. And those that know SUSE for a long time actually will recognize that we were sometimes were criticized for that we were always good in engaging in projects also with competitors, sometimes even with closed source competitors. We were the first to have a true best guess strategy around hypervisors, not just supporting the open source hypervisor, but also hypervisors of, oh my God, VMware and Microsoft at that point in time. We have always been in the business of being open to collaborate also with people that are competitors. So the fact that IBM will own Red Hat and that in one form or fashion, which I don't know how they will do it, and you don't know either, and we should also not speculate it, the fact that they buy one of our competitors, still in my mind, if they play it in the same way we do, gives opportunity to collaborate and create best of breed solutions that are valuable for enterprise customers. Now, within IBM, there's groups that have an interest in that as well. For example, here at SUSECON, we have the IBM Global Services Group. They provide services and sell third-party solutions, also competitive solutions to IBM. They're very keen to continue to work with us because that's their business and they're part of IBM. On the IBM mainframe side, there's customers then since decades, it's really true, use SUSE Linux Enterprise Server on System Z, on their mainframe. And it's not just about IBM to change that. These are also customers that have choices, made choices, have good relationships with SUSE and get value out of that in the long time. And we will hold on to those relationships. I'm pretty sure about that. IBM, by the way, has not altered at all the way of working with us right now. We have regular meetings, we have business reviews, we have planning meetings. They're here at SUSECON, they sponsor the event, they're an exhibitor at SUSECON, we have planning meetings with them, so none of that has happened. Now, one more thing. There are people in the market, and I'm talking about what I hear from the market, not what I think, that actually say, well, let's wait and see how the dynamics unfold of this new combination in the market. Let's wait where they unfold in a way that they still have enough choice in the marketplace, because many people do not want to be locked in just one mega supplier. And they want to understand how that will be resolved by this new combination, which quite frankly gives us an opportunity, because we will be there. We will always be there as an independent open source player, trusted advisor and consultative partner that over the years have proven proven that we can deliver quality, that we can engage in dependable value-adding relationships. So if the opportunity is there, we will grab it.
The second part of the question was around about the issue of OpenShift and Cloud Foundry. You've been massive supporters of Kubernetes. You've put Project Irini into play, which brings together the ability for Kubernetes and Cloud Foundry to deliver faster into the market, which solves part of Cloud Foundry's problem. Do you see there being, again, in the spirit of open source, enough room for OpenShift and Cloud Foundry with Project Irini to compete openly and evenly in the market? Or do you see the market having to make some decisions now as to where it sits? Because we know that Kubernetes will be the dominant part of this.
Earlier on in the conversation, we talked about innovation and that sometimes that means there are fragmented markets and that standards need to emerge. One of the things that can be fairly safely answered is that Kubernetes has emerged as the standard for containers, for container deployment. The fact that we are setting up with our Cloud Foundry solutions based running on Kubernetes distributions, not just from SUSE, but all Kubernetes distributions, also Kubernetes distributions in the public cloud, because we run also with our Cloud Foundry in the public cloud, is a differentiating factor that will lead to the fact that these kind of solutions will prevail in a multi-cloud or public cloud context. So I think there's certain things in our container as a service and cloud application platform solution, this combination of Cloud Foundry and Kubernetes through Project Irini, running also in the public cloud, which I think is a winning argument in the future.
The one thing that surprised me this morning and caught me completely off guard in your comments to us in the press briefing was the support for the HP Helion product going forward. How important is that code base and that new customer base been for you since you acquired those assets?
First of all, Helion, to the largest extent, was based on OpenStack, vanilla OpenStack. And we are a true open source company. What we continue is to offer OpenStack services to the Helion customer base. Now, the Helion customer base want to move on to new versions. One of the things that we are saying here at the event is that SUSE OpenStack Cloud 9 is actually the first version where we migrate and combine both streams, the Helion OpenStack streams and the SUSE OpenStack streams, into one solution with some upgrade and update capabilities. That is the future home for those former HPE Helion OpenStack users that want to migrate and keep pace with the net additional innovation that is coming from OpenStack their way. There are customers that are moving to that new solution because that is basically their migration path for the future. And yes, we're happy to have those customers and we service them and we're happy to take over those contracts. Absolutely.
I know it's going to be a busy week for you. So Nils, thank you for your time today.
It will be a busy week for me and it was a good conversation. I'd like to thank you for that.